Greetings, all of God's people. This is again Mordecai Joseph. We're today in lesson 393. And I thought that last time would have been the end of the series, but apparently there is a little bit more material here. And this time we shall finish it. Anyway, we're in Matthew chapter 23. And Jesus Christ continues to speak, in this case, to the leaders of the nation in terms of the religious leaders who govern not only the spiritual aspects of life, but also the physical aspects, the civil aspects, because religion in Israel was never a separate one. You know, there is no secular religion and religious, you know, authorities. They were all one, you see. So I have to understand from that point of view. Basically, by the teachings that they taught, they governed every area of life, because that's what the law of Moses all about. It involved every area of life, not only the spiritual aspects of life. It involved agriculture, it involved construction, it involved you know, all kind of things, everything that has to do with life. And so unfortunately, the leaders of Israel, be it the kings, be it the government, that later on became known as a civil government, but wasn't at that time, or the priesthood, which all worked together, you see, they unfortunately were not obeying the law of Moses. So a lot of problems were confronting the people from within, from without, from above, from around. And so it is to this very day. And so in verse 23, it continues here. There are a lot of things in between, obviously. But basically, if you have to understand that when you read this chapter or any other chapter, that's speaking about everybody. It's not speaking only about specific people, even though he addresses them in specific at this point. But this is the way all human beings, unfortunately, behave. And the more they are on the top, the higher they are, the more they act like that. You see? So that's applicable to all. And we should not ever point the fingers at somebody else, because all of us are guilty of it to one degree or the other, wherever we are. When we're at the bottom, we complain about those at the top and all their wickedness and corruption. And then when we get to the top, we do just the same. You see? And we should never be hypocrites. And that was the problem with the Pharisees. On one hand, they're sitting in the seat of Moses to teach the law of God, for people to behave themselves, to love their neighbors themselves, to do justly and to fear God. On the other hand, they were abusing it. You see? That's in essence what's happening all around us. So all of us are guilty, and all of us should realize we all are capable of all those things. And that's what he's saying to them. That's what he's saying to every single one of us. And here in verse 23, so something important for us to appreciate and recognize and understand, because many don't. He says, "Woe unto you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites, for you pay the tithe of the mint and anise and cumin." In other words, you make sure that you are paying God what he commanded you to pay. And even you go meticulously and take care of every tiny little detail, you see, which does not mean you shouldn't care about it. Some people think, well, that's a small thing, and who cares about that? And so he says, that's what you do. You're so meticulous about obedience to the law of God, and in the process, what is it that you're doing? He says, you have paid so much attention, in essence, in paying tithe for the little things, and have neglected the weightier matters of the law, of the Torah of Moses. Which are what? Justice. That's what we are talking about, in essence, the subject justice. That's in essence, talks about everything else, all included, one way or the other, all linked to it, one way or the other. If you're not just, you wouldn't do justly, you see. You're going to do wrongly. You see? And when you do wrongly, you're not going to be kind to people, you're not going to be merciful, you're not going to be caring about people, you wouldn't be affectionate. You're not a just person. You see? Everything is going to go wrong because they're all linked. And so it says, you know, the weightier matters, we know them, which are the weightier matters of the law. And what you have to remember is two things. The weightier matters of the law, in contrast to those which are not as weighty and yet all are important, all are matters of the law. And the second one you should remember is what he's talking about here is the law itself, the Torah. The Torah is never done away with. And so he says to them, and he says to all of us, don't forget the weightier matters of the law, justice, mercy, and faith. A lot of people say, I want to live by faith alone. What about justice? What about the law? That includes everything in it. I say, well, the law is done away with, but I want to live by faith alone. I just believe in Christ and that's all. I just believe in God. Big deal. Doesn't mean anything. You got to have it all. And that's what your Creator says to you, whether you believe Him or not. He says, you have forgotten the weightier matters of the law, justice, mercy, and faith. These you ought to have done. That means all the little things and the big things without leaving the others undone. So he said, you should have done the weightier matters of the law. In other words, understand the priority within the law, but priority doesn't mean all the rest doesn't matter. You see? Priority means what you put an emphasis on. But everything else is a part of the law, and you broke one, you broke them all. And so he makes it very plain. You should walk in justice, in mercy, and in faith. And the faith is not something you believe only. The faith is something you obey. As the Apostle said several times, those who obey the faith, those who obey the truth, you see? It's very important to realize that because a lot of people don't understand that. And they don't understand it because their own spiritual leaders are deceived themselves. They don't teach them what God really said. That's what the Apostle Paul speaking, supposedly the founder of Christianity, and he's not. He was a disciple of Moses, and he taught Moses to the end of his days, and to the end of his days he was proud to be a Pharisee. And he said so in public before the Sanhedrin, you see, before the priests. When he was brought there before them, he says, I am a Pharisee. You see, it is, I used to be. Others, in their wickedness and darkness and confusion, they don't know what he's talking about. They don't understand what they're reading. And so they speak all kind of lies about him. And this is what he said. In the, speaking to the Romans, you see, that should have been the Church of Rome, to this very day, obedient to the law of Moses, and they are anything but that. And so speaking to that church, you know, that small group of them, that the others departed from and invented their own religion, is in essence talking about his calling and what he's doing, and that he was a bond slave of Jesus Christ, and the fact that God called him to do a work and all the others. And he's speaking about the role of Jesus Christ and about the resurrection. In verse 5 he says, through him, through Christ, we have received grace and apostleship. You see, we in particular, the leaders, but all of us received grace. For what? What's the purpose of grace? And what was the purpose of the apostleship? What's the purpose of the leadership? Be it spiritual, civil, any given leadership, economical, business, anywhere. What's the purpose of it? He makes it very plain. Through him, we have received grace and apostleship for obedience to the faith among all nations for his name. How many people obey the faith? What faith is he talking about? You see? Don't think that I came to do away with the Torah or the prophets. The law is spiritual and holy. The Torah is holy. That's the faith he's talking about. You see? So people cannot say, I just live by faith alone. They don't even know what faith is. They don't know what they're talking about. They think, you know, faith just means I believe in Christ. That's meaningless. God is not interested in people who believe in him. God is interested in people who believe in him and therefore obey him. You see? Otherwise, it's meaningless. That's what James is saying. You know, faith without works, without that means obedience to the work, to the law, it's meaningless. It's dead. Dead works. And some people don't like it. And so they say, oh, well, James is just a book of straw. That's what Martin Luther, you know, called that book, The Reformer, supposedly the great reformer. What was he reforming? He was exchanging one vomit for another. That's all. And so God said, don't forget the weightier matters of the law, justice and mercy and faith. This ought you to have done. You should do all these things without leaving the others undone, including the little things. Some people will call it picky, you know, for a sake. There's no such a thing. That's what God says. There is no such a thing. Until heaven and earth pass, not one jot or one tittle shall pass from the law. There is no such a thing as picky, or pharisaic. That's only a scoffer and a hypocrite and a mocker, you know, and a rebellious person against God would ever speak like that. God says, yes, they are the weightier matters of the law, but all the others too. You better do them. That's why he said, heaven and earth shall pass, but not even the little things will pass from the law. They're all important. You don't tell God, well, I don't care about that, or I don't care about this. That's not that important. It's not necessary for salvation. There is no such a thing. As Jen said, you break one of them, you broke them all. If that's your attitude is, forget it. You're not going to be there. You see? And yet to this very day, that's what they do. And unfortunately, everybody's doing that way. And so it's okay. People say, well, you know, it's not okay to steal big things, but it's okay to steal little things. It's not okay to lie, but it's okay to tell a little lie, you know, a white lie. You see? That's the same concept. The weightier matters of the law and the little ones. God says all of them are important. Do them all. Don't be a hypocrite. You see, and all of us, if we're not careful, we are. And then he talks to the nation, to his people, to Jerusalem that symbolizes the nation. You see, his own people. This is God speaking, just like he did before through the prophet Isaiah and many other places. All day long, he said, I stretch my hands, my arms before you, rising early in the morning, but you would not hear. And to this very day, they're still the same. And yet they think they're the people of God. Be it in the Jewish community or in the so-called Christian community or any other community on the face of the earth. And so that's a message. It's not only to specific people or location or time in history, but to all of us to this very day, past, present, and future. He says, oh, Jerusalem, Jerusalem, the one who kills the prophets. Why do you want to deny the fact that you kill the prophets when God said you kill them? You see? And some people say, oh, well, Jesus Christ said, you know, but we didn't do it, you know, we don't believe in Christ. Well, that has nothing to do with that, because you can go to the prophets, to the words of God, where God himself is speaking in person, to Jeremiah, you see. This is the one that came in the flesh and became Jesus Christ, and of course, the Jewish community doesn't believe it, but it's neither here nor there. They will when the time comes, and some of them do. I happen to be one of them. But in Jeremiah, God is speaking to Jeremiah the prophet, and nobody's going to deny that God is the one speaking here. And in verse 29 of chapter 2, he says, why will you plead with me? You all have transgressed against me, says the Eternal, that Jehovah. There's no question about it who is speaking here. In vain I have chastened your children, they received no correction. Your sword has devoured your prophets. Now, who said that? Jesus Christ, the God of Israel, speaking to Jeremiah. Jesus Christ coming, speaking to Jerusalem in person. Jesus Christ speaking to all, from beginning until the end, any given generation. They have, you know, how many times they tried to kill Moses, stone him, he and Aaron, and other leaders of Israel. And Joshua and Caleb, you know, when they came back and reported about the land, while others were bringing an evil report, the whole congregation wanted to kill them, to stone them. That happened many times. Honest people don't deny that. They don't say we didn't do it. They don't say we're not Christ killers. They don't say we're not the ones that killed the prophets. They acknowledge the collective guilt of the nation. And others have no business saying you killed them and we didn't, because we are all guilty of it. Well, that's a different issue. That's hypocrisy and bigotry. And so some, you know, trying to be good, say, well, okay, you didn't kill him, you know, the Romans did it. Of course the Romans did it. The Jews were also responsible for it. Every single one of us alive at any given age in any given nation is responsible for it. Abraham is responsible for the killing of Christ because of sin. You see, you have to understand it properly. And because people don't, and they like to point the finger, and others don't like it, He says, no, we didn't do it. You know, somebody else did it. You see? It's all foolishness. God is speaking here very plainly. Your sword has devoured your prophets. And if that's the kind of people they were, what's to stop them from doing it any other time to anybody? You see? And what stops any human being on the face of the earth who is being told that he's wrong from doing it? People always hate those people that come and tell them you're wrong. They don't like it. They don't like to hear it. Nobody likes to hear it. That's kind of people we are. All of us. That's what Paul was saying. The carnal man is an enemy of God. What does it mean, an enemy of God? When God comes and tells you, look, what you're doing stinks, wrong, and all that, you hate it. And if you can, you kill that person who tells you that. And if God comes to you in the flesh, you kill him when he tells you things you don't like to hear. Of course, they didn't know he was God. Nevertheless, they did it. You know, with the help of Rome. The other ones that delivered him to Rome, Rome did not go after him. You see? They were responsible for it. And obviously, God in heaven was orchestrating the whole thing. So you have to understand the whole story. Because that's the way he was going to give salvation to all mankind. And ironically, when you think about it, if the Jews were at the time, when we say the Jews, we're talking about few of them. The majority of the Jews were obedient to Jesus Christ. They followed him. They admired him. They honored him. You see? They were not in this group. And for the hypocrites to claim that all Jews are responsible, that's all it is. They're children of the devil. That's why they speak like that. You know? Few rebel rousers, wanting their own authority, their own power, were responsible for it. The rest of the Jewish community was not even there. An awful lot of them did not even know what was happening. Many of them did not even hear about Christ in that generation, you know, had they lived in other countries. You see? So, you know, let's be honest and speak the truth there. Not have generalities. So God is the one speaking here, plainly, through Jeremiah. And he says, your sword has devoured your prophets like a destroying lion. You see? So, there is no place to deny it. And then another honest man here, this time a person is speaking here, Nehemiah, the days of Ezra and Nehemiah, when he recognizes that Israel is in trouble, a lot of bad things are happening there, you see? And therefore, he's acknowledging and confessing all the evils of his own people, and he's pleading with God for forgiveness and mercy and deliverance for the nation, because they were more or less in the same trouble that they are today in the Middle East. They had all those nations all around them, and they were sniping at them, giving them a hard time. They had their terror acts, and they claimed that land belongs to us at the time. Just the same stories you find today. And because the people of God at the time were rebellious against God, he allowed all these enemies to come and give them a hard time. And so you read the entirety of the prayer here in chapter 9 of Nehemiah, and all the priests and all the Levites there who are acknowledging all the bad things that they have committed in the past and at the same time, and all the problems that came upon them. And so in verse 28, we're just getting to the discourse here, or the prayer before God, verse 28 of chapter 9. But after they had rest, speaking by the people of Israel, when God delivered them, they again did evil before you. That's the kind of people we are, they say. Therefore you left them in the hand of their enemies, so that they had dominion over them. And that's what's happening in the days of Jesus Christ. Rome had dominion over Israel, over Judah. Why? Because of wickedness in Judah. And Judah does not want to acknowledge that. You see? Politics at all levels of society, and corruption and evil. And you know, obviously, many innocent people are caught in between. And that's the way we have to look at it. So he says they had dominion over them. Yet when they returned and cried out to you, you heard from heaven. And many times you delivered them according to your mercies and testified against them that you might bring them back to your law, the law of Moses, where people would walk in justice and judgment and kindness and mercy and the fear of God. And so he continues and he says, yet they acted proudly. And that's unfortunately one of the qualities of the people of Israel. They're too proud people. They boast about it. We are proud people. You know, the pride of this and the pride of that. So they said they acted proudly. You know, what does it mean proudly? That means, you know, they go against God. They do their own thing. They don't need God. We don't need God. They say today, we've got evolution, we've got science. What do we need God for? Well, in those days, they did it differently. Yet they acted proudly and did not heed your commandments. If you enter into life, he said, when he came in person, keep the commandments. And people despise it to this very day, and yet they claim to be the people of God. They call themselves either, you know, religious Jews, Orthodox Jews, Rabbinic Jews, you know, conservative, reformists on one side. On the other side of the community of Israel, they call themselves Christians. And they're all despising the commandments of God to one degree or the other, some more, some less. So he says, they did not heed your commandments, but sinned against your judgments, which if a man does, he shall live by them. That's what Moses told him. You're going to have life, not death, not suffering, not sorrow and pain. And they shrugged their shoulders, you know, just like kids do. You tell them to do something, I don't want to. He said, that's what they did. They shrugged their shoulders, they stiffened their necks. No matter what you tell them, they don't hear, they don't want to listen to you. They hate what you are saying to them, what you tell them, and if they can, they'll kill you. And so that's what they did. Shrugged their shoulders, they stiffened their necks, and would not hear. No matter what you told them, no matter how many times you delivered them, and to this very day they are the same, he's saying. Yet for many years you had patience with them. Because why? God does not is not interested in the death of the wicked. God is not interested in anyone to perish. That's why he's patient. Otherwise all of us would have been dead a long time ago. So it says, yet for many years, such centuries, from the time they came out of Egypt and to this very day, you had patience with them and testified against them by your spirit in your prophets. You see? You put your spirits in your prophets. He's speaking about the one that later on came in the flesh, Jesus Christ. And as Peter the Apostle said, that the Spirit of Christ, speaking about the prophets of Israel, that is the prophets of God, that were sent to Israel, he said, the Spirit of Christ which was in them. It's the same person. And so it says, you testified by your spirit. That's the Spirit of Christ. That means that's Christ. That's all it means. And pagans, you know, invented this doctrine of Trinity and invented a new God there. They call it the Spirit, God the Spirit. As Jesus Christ speaking into the prophets, he's the one that was speaking in them. That's what Peter makes very plain, the Spirit of Christ that was in them. You see? So he said, you testified against them by your Spirit in your prophets. That's how he spoke through the prophets, by his Spirit. Yet they would not listen. Therefore, you give them into the hand of the peoples of the land, you see. And nevertheless, in your great mercy, you did not utterly consume them, nor forsake them, for you are God, gracious and merciful. You see. So the people of God were not listening. They were not willing to listen. They were doing their own thing. And earlier before that, in his prayer, in the prayer here that we read, in verse 26, again, speaking about his own people, he says, nevertheless, they were disobedient, no matter what you did for them, they were disobedient and rebelled against you. They cast your law, your Torah, behind their backs and killed your prophets, who testified against them to turn them to yourself. And they worked great, you know, they worked great provocations. And there are many other places. And you can read different places, you know, in the prophets, where they tried to kill the prophets, like Jeremiah. They tried to kill him several times, and God delivered him. And other prophets they killed, and God allowed it. They tried to kill Elijah, you know, the prophets. These are the people of God. So for the fools to say, well, you know, oh, Christ said that, who cares about Christ? We don't believe in Christ. Or for that matter, anybody else to deny that had they been alive at that time, they would have done just the same. For the people who today claim to be Christians or religious Jews, you know, and yet they despise the law of God, they still would have done, you know, exactly the same like their forefathers did, because their forefathers claimed to be religious too. They just didn't like that prophet that came and told them about all the evil things that they were doing. And so sometimes they kill them even, you know, they took them from the temple and killed them, you know, because they thought, you know, we're religious people, and they had the false prophets there that were inciting the people, and oftentimes those false prophets were priests, priests of God. On one hand, you know, serving God, offering sacrifices to God, on the other hand, killing his own prophets when he sent them to testify against them. That's the people of God. And that's what Christ is saying here. Oh, Jerusalem, Jerusalem, the one who kills the prophets. That's a fact established many times by the prophets of Israel. Nobody can deny that. And stones those who are sent to her, and they've done it. How often I wanted, I, Jesus Christ, the God of Israel, I wanted to gather your children together as a hen gathers her chicks under her wings, but you were not willing. You see, you'd rather walk in the ways of injustice and no fear of God, and that's why the whole land is full of corruption. And to this very day, when you go to either of the nations of Israel, be it the United States or England or Western, Northwestern Europe, Australia, New Zealand, wherever they are, you see, or whether you go to the land of Judah, the land of Israel today, you find the same spirit, the same nature, the same evil, the same wickedness, the same immorality, the same darkness, the same rebellion, the same hatred against God and His law and against Moses and against His teachings. They're all the same, regardless of what kind of religions or denominations that divide themselves. Whatever they believe, it's neither here nor there. And so this is what Christ is saying to them. See, your house is left to you desolate, for I say to you, you shall see me no more till you say, blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. And that's exactly what they're going to say, and that's what you read in Zechariah 14. That when he comes, and his feet descend on the Mount of Olives, and he delivers them and destroys all their enemies, and he's going to open their eyes, and he's going to pour on them the spirit of grace and supplication. And he says, you shall see me whom you have pierced. You're not going to deny it anymore. And you're going to repent and mourn for me, you know, as the firstborn, because I'm the firstborn of many brethren. He came to this earth also, not only to atone for the sins of his people Israel and the whole earth, you see, but also to open the path and the road for the people of God to be born into the kingdom of God, to be members of that family, all becoming deities. That's right. A lot of people don't believe it, and they'll kill you if they hear you say that. They don't believe that. They didn't believe the prophets. Just like Moses said, you know, had they believed Moses, they would have believed me. You see? That's what Moses said, and that's what David said. Those, you know, you're the sons of God. If you're a son of God, you know, if you're born to a certain family, your father and mother are human beings, what are you going to be, a monkey? You see? You may be a baby in the beginning, yes, messing your diapers, you don't talk, you don't walk, you don't do anything, but you gradually grow up and you become just like your parents, and that's what God said in the beginning. Let us make man in our image and in our likeness. And the law of Moses, we're teaching, you know, where to teach you the way. And that's what Christ said, I'm the way. That's what he was talking about. I'm the truth. I'm the light. You see? And when people forsake that, well, obviously there is no justice in the land, no righteousness, no peace, no harmony, no kindness, no mercy, no love, no affection, no genuine spirits. And that's the tragedy, that the people of God, the people of Israel, that God called to be a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, to be a light unto all the nations of the earth, they have not fulfilled their role, but yet they will in the future. But in the meantime, unfortunately, this is what we are dealing with. And then we're going to read the last one here, the last prophet of God, James, servant of God, happened to be also half-brother of Jesus Christ. You know, in contrast to the lie and the deception that was taught later on, that Mary was a virgin after she gave birth to Christ, and that she, to begin with, you know, conceived through an immaculate conception. That's another lie that was invented way down the road. You see, Jesus Christ had brothers and sisters. The scriptures make it very plain. Well, here is James. He writes to the children of Israel, and a lot of people don't realize that, to whom James, the apostle, is writing, who was in essence also the chief apostle in Jerusalem. Highly, highly favored, highly respected by the Jewish community, always went to the temple. They called him James the Just. And he brought many people to repentance of his own people until the day they threw him, you know, that the priests, you know, that they wanted power to themselves only. They were losing members. And they saw an awful lot of priests also living their way of life. You see, there was a mixture of truth and error and following the disciples of Jesus Christ, the God of Israel, you see. In other words, they were not interested in the law of Moses. That's basically the bottom line was. And they did not believe Moses. As Moses said, you know, somebody, God is going to send you a prophet just like me, and him you shall believe. And the prophet appeared on the scene, and he's the very one that spoke to Moses. And so James is writing to the people of Israel all over the world, wherever they may be. And so we read in James chapter 1, verse 1, James, a bondservant of God, first of God, of Elohim, and of the Lord Jesus. There are only two of them. There aren't three of them. And every statement of all the apostles was always introduced by this: God and Christ. There is no mention of the Holy Spirit as the third person, because there is no such a thing. Simple as that. There is God, and there is the Lord, the Master. You see? And both of them are deities. One of them is a chief deity, he is the Most High, the El Elyon. That was a message that was begun from Genesis. It wasn't something that was invented 2,000 years ago. That's what Abraham worshipped. That's what Isaac and Jacob, that's what all the prophets of old, that's what Moses, all knew about the two divine personalities. And even to the days of Jesus Christ, many Jews still understood it. And then, when they totally rejected much light, knowledge, and understanding, they went into total darkness and lost even that. And now, even when they read it in their own scriptures, they deny it. Not for long. So this is James speaking to his own people, Israel. He's not speaking to the Gentiles, the Gentile church. James, the bondservant of God and of the Lord Jesus Christ. To whom is he writing? To the 12 tribes which are scattered abroad. So this whole message is to the children of Israel, because why? Christ came to his own and he sent his disciples to the lost sheep of the house of Israel, not to the Gentiles. It's not a Gentile religion. He sent the apostle Paul to Gentiles. First he said to kings, to the Gentiles, and to the children of Israel. He had an all-encompassing commission. So he was not only a minister to the uncircumcision, he was also the minister to the circumcision, the apostle Paul. But as for the other apostles, they were basically sent to the children of Israel, because that was the emphasis that God wanted. Until Israel is brought back to her God, to be remarried as now the spiritual Israel, with some grafted among them of the nations around them, then they will turn around and teach all mankind and fulfill their purpose as it was meant to be from the beginning. And so he's writing to the 12 tribes of Israel, and they were scattered everywhere. And so he's writing to them, and they had a lot of problems, unfortunately, because some of them were obeying the law of God to a degree, some don't, and some were listening now to the disciples, who were reintroducing them, and many of them, to the law of Moses, and the fact that what Moses said about the great prophet materialized, became a reality, he now appeared on the scene. So they brought to them also the magnification of the law of Moses, which included the coming of the Savior, the star that would rise out of Jacob that Balaam was talking about in the book of Numbers as we read it much earlier. And so he's writing to them and, you know, talks about their own problems. They have a lot of problems among them. In chapter 4 he says, "Where do wars and fights come from among you?" Speaking about the children of Israel, when he studied the history of the time, the Scythian Empire, the Parthian Empire, was basically dominated by the house of Joseph, Ephraim and Manasseh, and that's where all the children, the lost tribes of Israel, were at the time. They were not lost, everybody knew who they were, and many of them were going to the temple, and the disciples of Israel went to them, that is the disciples of Christ. They went to them, that's what God told them, you go to all of them. And to all the Jewish community likewise, that were scattered abroad. See, most of them were not in Israel, in the land of Judah at the time, or Judea as it was called, or Galilee. You see, it was never called Palestine until later. And so he's speaking to them and he says, Where do wars and fights come from among you? Do they not come from your desires for pleasure that war in your members? What does that mean? You lust and do not have. You murder and covet and cannot obtain. You fight in war, and yet you do not have because you ask not. What is he talking about? God gave you a law. God made you a nation. God made you a royal priesthood in Sinai and gave you the law of Moses. You do not live by it. And so all you have is problems. You see? Law of the jungle. And that's what he's talking about here. You do not live by justice and judgment. You do not fear God. You do not obey the law of Moses. And then he continues to speak to them in chapter 5. Now he's addressing the ones who are oppressing their fellow Israelites. Be it in the Jewish community, be it in the community of Israel, because mind you, he's writing to all the 12 tribes, everywhere, wherever they may be, in Judea, in Jerusalem, in Samaria, you see, beyond the river Euphrates, in Babylon, in Rome, everywhere. That's a general message to all of them. That's why some people call it general epistle. But he's not writing to the Gentile church. He's writing to the people of Israel, who are the church. You see? And it's specific to them. And so he says, now speaking to the leaders of, that is, you know, to the people of Israel, and some of them are the evildoers, the masters, who do not judge righteously, who are in authority, who are in position of influence, who are the rich, and yet who are oppressing their own people. And so he's now speaking to them. Come now, you rich, you know, you are in authority on the top, be it in government, religion, anywhere, anything, any business community, applicable to all. Come now, you rich, weep and howl for your miseries that are coming upon you. Because God is going to reward you. That's what he's saying to them. That's what all the prophets said. That's what Moses said. Don't think you're going to get away with murder. Nobody's going to get away with anything. He says, so you begin to howl, he said, for your miseries that are coming upon you. Your riches are corrupted and your garments are moth-eaten. And so he's telling them about all the things that they're heaping to themselves by robbing others. He said, oh, that's going to go, by the way. You see? It's going to be destroyed, taken away from you, and that's what's coming also very soon in our future. God is going to bring utter destruction to the economy of the nations of Israel and to the whole earth likewise. Everything is going to go. There isn't going to be any global world as we know it today and a global economy. All that is going will go by the wayside. God's going to bring utter destruction on it. Why? Because people rejected the law of Moses. And until they return, you see, they have no hope. But he's going to make them return, but in the process, in between, before that, he's going to take away from them everything he gave them. And they're not going to give the credit to themselves anymore. They're not going to say, you know, Yankee ingenuity or Jewish, you know, smarts or wisdom, whatever it may be, or you know, any place on the face of the earth. Nobody's going to say that anymore. They're all going to acknowledge the God of heaven and earth and return all to the law of Moses that was given to all of them to begin with from the Garden of Eden. And so he says, all those things are going to be taken away from you, he says in verse 4. In verse 3, your gold and silver are corrupted. Why? Oh, that is corroded. Because ultimately speaking, you know, it's all product of thievery and oppression, you see, and cheating and robbing and defrauding people and gouging people. And their corrosion will be a witness against you and will eat your flesh like fire. You have heaped up treasure in the last days. You see, you gouge everyone. Very few people on the face of the earth own so much. And the majority are in poverty. And that's in government, in religion, in the business community. And it says in verse 4, indeed the wages of the laborers who mowed your fields, which you kept back by fraud, you are not even paying them their wages properly. They cry out, and the cries of the reapers have reached the ears of the Lord of Tzvaot, the Lord of hosts. You see, that's the captain of the Lord of hosts that appeared to Joshua as a man with a sword. And this is Jesus Christ. He said, he heard it, he knows all things. You lived on the earth in pleasure and luxury. You know, the high and the mighty and the rich. How? At the expense of the many. That's the only way you become rich, unfortunately, generally speaking. You lived in luxury and pleasure, but you couldn't care less about anybody else, generally speaking. Very few, you know, give you little peanuts here and there, oftentimes for tax purposes. You see? And so he said, you lived in pleasure and luxury, you have fattened your hearts as in the day of slaughter, you have condemned, you have murdered the just, and he does not resist you. If he is a just person, he's not going to resist you. A lot of people resist because they're not just. And God told people, don't resist. You know, vengeance is mine. I'm going to take care of those guys. But people want to take things into their own hands, and that's not right either. And they have, you know, coup d'etats and revolution, rebellion, things like that. And God says, no, you wait on me. You walk in my law and commandments, and I'll deliver you. But if you don't, well, tough luck. Verse 7, therefore be patient, you're speaking to the brethren. You know, in contrast to the people who were taking advantage of them, until the coming of the Lord, see how the farmer waits for the precious fruit of the earth, waiting patiently for it until it receives the early and latter rain. So wait on God, he said. All of you walk in the law of Moses, you see, and be patient. And he says, verse 9, do not grumble against one another, brethren, lest you be condemned in speaking to all the tribes of Israel, mind you. Behold, the judge is standing at the door. Now, obviously, in those days, all the disciples, the apostles, thought that Christ was coming in their day. You see? But a day, or a second, or a moment, or a thousand years for God, just the same. So, ultimately speaking, even though they misunderstood the statement, they still were right. After all, if you take it from God's point of view, the way He regards time. And so they say, do not grumble, because the judge is standing at the door. What is he going to judge? The people who transgress the law of Moses. You see? Who are not just. Who do not live by the fear of God. Who abuse their fellow men. And so he's admonishing them. My brethren, verse 10, take the prophets who spoke in the name of the Lord. And many of them got killed because of that. Take them as an example of suffering and patience. And they were willing to take it. They did not, you know, try to lash back. And indeed he said, we count them blessed and endure, who endure. We've heard of the perseverance of Job and seen the end intended by the Eternal. In other words, the end result of all that. That the Lord is very compassionate and merciful. You see? And that's what he's saying to them. Wait on God. He will deliver you. He knows what people do. He knows what people are doing. He knows that they despise the law of Moses. He knows that they do not commit, you know, in other words, they do not practice justice. They should know better, you see. And whether there are people who know the law of Moses and all the law of God, or they don't, it's neither here nor there. Anywhere on the face of the earth, he's going to deal with all of them. And when the judge of the whole earth comes, he's the judge of the whole earth, not just of a single place, you know, in Jerusalem, in Israel. You see, all the earth is his, and he's going to judge all mankind, because all of them, whether they know the law of Moses or not, they're transgressing it. And whether you know that you are walking into a minefield or not, it's neither here nor there. You're going to be blown up to pieces. You see? And that's basically the way it works. And so that's in essence what Moses was telling them. You see? That this word that I'm giving you, you better listen to them. And that's exactly what all the prophets... That's the reason why they came about on the scene, to remind people of the law of Moses and to tell them why things are so bad in the country, in the land, and people didn't like it. Who are the people that didn't like it? The people who resented and hated the law of Moses, the people that were taking advantage of people in government, in religion, in the business community. They are the ones that went after the prophets and killed them, not the, you know, the rest of the people. Most of the people were being oppressed by them. And so that's what God is telling Moses here, and that's what Israel has forgotten, and that's what Jesus Christ said to the end of the road. Don't think that the law of Moses is done away with. You better remember the law of Moses or else. And so let's go back now to Moses and continue from this point. And again, we read these three verses in chapter 16, verse 18, judges and officers shall you make unto you in all of your gates, which the Lord your God gives you, tribe by tribe, and for that matter, teach all nations later on to do likewise. And they shall judge the people with righteous judgment. You shall not rest judgment. You shall not respect persons. Neither shall you take a gift, for a gift does blind the eyes of the wise and pervert the words of the righteous. Justice, justice shall you pursue. Chase after. Don't let it go. Don't let it slip away from you. Why? That you may live and inherit the land which the Lord your God gives you. That's exactly what Jesus Christ said in, you know, the Sermon on the Mount. Blessed are the meek, for they shall inherit the earth. You know, all the ones who sigh and mourn and mourn for the wickedness that is done in the land because people are disobeying the law of Moses. That's basically what the story is all about. And yet to this very day, unfortunately, people do not listen to the law of Moses. Why? Because the spiritual leaders tell them the law is done away with. Others say God is no more. He does not exist. We believe in evolution. And government couldn't care less about it. And people are fighting the courts of the land, you know, in order just to have, you know, a plaque there with the Ten Commandments and so forth. You see? These are the end results of all that. And so that's basically what this mini-series was all about. And so we'll continue from this point with the rest of the words of Moses here in the book of Deuteronomy, chapter 16 and verse 21. And we'll do it in the next lesson. And until then, again, this is Mordecai Joseph, greetings to all of God's people. Until the next lesson at the end of this chapter.